Everybody? Everybody doing well? Good. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad that you allow me to be your pastor. I'm grateful. Kurt already talked extensively about the picnic we're going to have out at Cedar Canyon, but I just want to encourage you. It's the only time during the year that we get both services together. Obviously, we had a 9 o'clock service, and there was a room full of people, and now we're having this service. So please come. Don't stay home. You don't have to do anything out there but get a lawn chair and get in the shade, and you can feed me. And amen, right? And like Kurt said, everybody bring something to eat. And so please don't stay home. We're going to have a great time. There's activities for your kids and for your teenagers and anything else that you want to do. So I want you to come and to be a part of it. All right, amen? All right, I have in my hand a $5,000 check to Life Outreach International right here. Yeah, right here. Amen. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. Amen. All right, pat your neighbor on the back and say, good job. Good job. Amen. Listen, I am so proud of you. I'm so proud of you for giving and being a part of this. Our heart was to raise $5,000. To send to Life International, which is James Robinson's ministry in Dallas, and they drill water wells in third world countries, and it costs $5,000 to drill a well. And so we as a church are going to drill a well. They can't tell us exactly where the well is going to be, but there's a list of countries, including Africa. And so the well that they're going to drill will provide clean water for 1,000 people, and they not only have clean water, but then they'll also hear the gospel. And so I want you to know how proud I am of you, whether you gave a dollar or you gave $500. It doesn't matter what you gave. And I'm excited. We're going to mail this tomorrow. And so before we do, I want us to pray over it. So I'd like for you, if you would you just stretch your hand out towards this check and just open your heart and let's pray. Father, we lift up this $5,000 offering this morning. Lord, you stirred in our heart to raise money to drill a well. And Lord, that's exactly what we've done. Father, we stood on the promise in Proverbs that says, as we water others, we'll be watered also. And Lord, we talked about you bringing rain. Well, Lord, has it rained? And Lord, we're thankful for the rain. Lord, I know many people have had 10 inches. Lord, our lakes have been filled. Lord, I saw where drought has been reduced in West Texas, and we're thankful for answered prayer. But Lord, I also know that promise can be for anything else in our life. Father, we give this in faith, and we thank you that our lives are watered. Our families are watered. Our children are watered. Our grandchildren, our businesses. Father, your hand is on our lives, and we're grateful that we get to be a part of what you're doing. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Come on. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lou. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I told her to do that because if I'll lose it. Tanner, can I embarrass you? Is it okay? Would you stand up? Stand up. Tanner just got back from tennis, and he and Madison won state in mixed doubles. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We're proud of you, man. Amen. Way to go. Way to go. Praise God. The Lord's good. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to read to you this morning out of John chapter 6, verse 57. John 6, 57 in the New Living Translation. The message today is called Life, but here's what I'm going to do, okay? I'm going to show you something that I wished you knew about the Bible. I want to show you something that I wished you knew about the Bible. After today, you're never going to look at the Scripture the same way. I'm going to change your mindset. I'm going to change your paradigm, if you will, and you're never going to approach the Word of God the same way. So I'm going to read to you out of John 6, 57. Jesus is speaking. Listen to what he says. Jesus says, I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. Now, I said Easter Sunday, Easter weekend, that the offer of Christianity is life. And that offer always stands. Listen, Christianity is not about do's and don'ts. Christianity is not about religion. Christianity is not about rules. Christianity is not about cutting the mustard. Christianity is about life. And when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. Now, I said a couple of weeks ago that when you think about eternal life, you think it means later. But it doesn't mean later. It means never ending. If you know Christ this morning as your Savior, no matter what's going on in your life, you have never-ending life on the inside of you. And you are living that eternal life right now today. Jesus makes a startling statement in the verse I just read. He said, I have life because of the Father. And just like I have life from the Father, I want you to have life. And look at what it says. He says in the second part, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. Here's what Jesus is saying to us this morning. Anyone, that it's for anybody. If you feed on Jesus, you will live. Now here's what I want to do with the time I have this morning. I want to make it very clear and I want to make it very simple. I want to show you this morning how to feed on Jesus and consequently, how to have life. There's not anybody in this room that doesn't want life. Now, I'm not talking about being born again. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the life that you need to live every day. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you will feed on me, you will have life. All right, that begs the first question. Okay, Pastor, how do I feed on Jesus? Well, we know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He died on the cross, rose from the dead. After 40 days, he ascended into heaven. We know where Jesus is. And when you invite him into your life because he's God, he makes his place in your heart. I can't and you can't physically feed on Jesus. We can't physically eat his flesh or drink his blood. But Jesus says, I want you to feed on me. Here's very simply and practically how you do it. Jesus said himself, I am the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. And anytime you hear the Word of God, anytime you read the Word of God, anytime you say the Word of God, you are feeding on Jesus. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop reading your Bible. I want you to never read it again. And instead, I want you to feed on it. I want you to change your mindset, and I want you to quit approaching your Bible as a duty, as a hassle, as a have to. I want you to quit approaching your Bible with, I'm going to have to try to learn something. I've got to fill my head with scriptures. I've got to fill my head with facts where I can win Bible trivia. I want you to instead think that I'm not going to read my Bible ever again. What I'm going to do is feed on it. Jesus said, if you'll feed on me, you will live. Now, I said last week that Jesus is in every book of the Bible. All right, you can Google it. You can actually get on your computer and you can Google the phrase Jesus in every book of the Bible, and it will pull up every single verse. I mean, not every single verse, every single book. And then what it will do is out beside of it, it will give you a reference and an understanding of how Jesus is in every book of the Bible. But not only is he in every book, he's in every story. Listen to me. Everything that happened in the Old Testament is a type or a shadow pointing to Jesus. Do you know what the Ten Commandments are supposed to do? They're not supposed to set up a set of rules for you to live by. It's a road sign that points with an arrow that says you need Jesus. Listen, not one person in this room can keep the Ten Commandments. Not one person in this room can keep the law, and you don't have to. Jesus fulfilled it for you. So every time you read the Bible, you're feeding on Jesus. Now, don't miss this. Jesus did speak, and those words are recorded. And you can have a red letter edition Bible where it says that Jesus was speaking. But I'm not talking about just those words. I'm talking about the entire Bible. Listen, stop reading your Bible and start feeding on your Bible. And whether you read Genesis, whether you read Psalms, whether you read Proverbs, whether you read Psalms, whether, it doesn't matter where you read Revelation from front to back. Anytime you read your Bible, anytime you hear the Word of God, anytime you say the Word of God, you are feeding on Jesus. Now, let me give you the original language on what feed means. It means to gnaw, to chew or to slowly process. In Psalms, God told Joshua, if you'll meditate on the Bible, if you'll meditate on my promises, you'll have good success in life. That word meditate means the same thing as to feed. It means to gnaw. It means to chew. Here's what the Holy Spirit told me. The Holy Spirit asked me yesterday, Rusty, how does a dog eat differently than a cow? Well, of course, one's a carnivore and one eats grass. So there, one's a meat eater and one's not. He said, no, how does a dog eat? Well, I don't know about you, but every dog I ever had, when I would pour the food into the bowl, they ate it like it was their last meal. They gulped it down. I had a dog one time, and that dog, I swear, could eat 50 pounds of dry dog food in one setting. Now, Kurt's got a dog, and he has an automatic feeder out. If I'd have had one of those for my dog, I'd have had to fill it up every single day, because whatever you put out, he ate it. And he ate it as fast as he could gulp it down. All right, a cow instead chews grass, and I don't know all the details, but they put it in a stomach, then it pulls it back up, and they slowly chew it, and we call it chewing your cud. And a cow will lay down in a grass field, and you see their old jaw moving, and they're chewing that cud, and they're chewing it slowly. They're processing it. Okay, you're supposed to be doing the very same thing with the Word of God. Listen, church, it's not about reading a chapter a day. It's not about getting a bunch of knowledge or information out of the Bible. It's taking a verse, taking a few minutes every day, and you don't read it, you feed on it. And Jesus said, if you'll do that, you'll have life. You don't gulp it down. You feed on it. See, it's not about, well, I'm just going to hurry up and read a verse and get on with my day. And it's not about taking a bunch of time either. But it's about recognizing every time I look at my Bible, I'm going to feed on it. Now, here's what's going to happen. When you feed on the Word of God, you're feeding on Jesus. And when you feed on Jesus by hearing or reading the Word, listen, you will not help but be changed. You will not help but be changed. Now, here's what Jesus said. He said, feed on me. How do I do that, Pastor? Anytime you read the Word of God or hear the Word of God or say the Word of God, you're feeding on Jesus. Then the promise is you will have life. You will have life. Listen to me. Anywhere you read in the Bible, you're feeding on Jesus. So stop reading your Bible. Don't ever read it again. Instead, feed on it. Listen, that's why the devil doesn't want you close to the Bible. That's why he wants you to say, I don't understand it. I feel condemned. I need to learn more. I don't want to be around it. See, the devil has a vested interest in you not reading the Bible, because if he can keep you away from it, he can keep you weak and anemic. Because Jesus said, if you'll feed on my word, I'll give you life. Now, the second thing, let me give you a definition. Jesus said, if you'll feed on me, and I've shown you how to do that, you read it, you hear it, and you say it. And you don't have to do all three of those at once. You can do them all at different times. He said that you'll have life. Now, let me give you a basic definition in the original language. You're going to love this. You know what it means in the original Greek? True life. Now, that begs the question, what's true life? All right? Think about, in your own life, what does true life look like for you? All right? Not counterfeit, not fake. Okay, see, can I just tell you something? The world has nothing to offer. They're empty. They have no life. The only place there's life is in Jesus Christ. Now, that's the next question. Where have you been going looking for life? Where have you been going? Now, when I was a kid growing up, my meemaw, my mom's mother, would buy Mellorine. Anybody old enough to know what Mellorine is? Mellorine was fake ice cream. I don't even know what they made it out of. Okay? They closed the factories and shot all the people that worked there. And they don't make it anymore. I don't know why she bought Mellorine, but she did. Well, when we would go to her house, that's all she had. So we ate it. Because, I mean, heck, what is this, Meemaw? That's Mellorine. Well, it looks like ice cream. Can I eat it? Yes, honey, you can eat it. That's what I loved about Meemaw. If it was in the fridge, I could have it. The next thing she would buy was back in the early days. Now, I'm talking about way back. They just came out with Diet Dr. Pepper. I mean, they had just invented it. Well, you can imagine what it tasted like. It was a mixture of Drano and Geritol. Now, if you don't know what Geritol is, ask one of the bald people in the service, and they'll tell you. Geritol was an old vitamin mix that my grandparents would drink, and it tasted like iron, and it came in this little dark brown bottle, and they kept it in the kitchen, and I would sneak in there and get a drink out of it and put the lid back on it, like I needed energy or iron, right? Right. I'm glad they didn't have whiskey on the counter, aren't you? Right. Whatever was there, I was drinking out of it. But I would drink those old nasty Diet Dr. Pepper because that's all there was, and I ate that old Melorine because that's all there was. But it wasn't as good as the real thing. Listen, you do not have to have counterfeit life because Jesus offers the real thing. Now, just think about for a minute all the places we go looking for life, and they're not bad, okay? Okay, in marriage, we can look for life. With our children, we can look for life. With grandchildren, we can look for life. We can look for life in our paycheck or our job. We can look for life in recreation, whether it's the golf course, the deer blind, the lake, going fishing. We all go, and I'm not against any of those things, and I hope you don't misunderstand me. I love recreation, and I love doing fun things. But if you go to those things hoping for some sort of life, hoping for some sort of fulfillment, you're going to always go away disappointed. Jesus said, if you'll feed on me, if you'll stop reading your Bible and start feeding on it, you'll have true life. Now, let me give you the second thing that he says about true life. There's different parts to this. Here's the next thing that it means. Now, you're going to love this. It means living water being poured over you. Okay, now, just for a minute, hang on to this. Okay, every time you read the Bible, the Spirit of God pours living spiritual water over your body, over your mind, over your soul, over your emotions, over the weaknesses in your flesh, the things you're worried about. Every time you feed on the Scripture, every time you read the Word of God, every time you hear the Word of God, when you say the Word of God, living water flows over you. Now, you don't feel it, and you might feel it sometimes, but you don't feel it, you don't necessarily sense it, you don't necessarily see it. But listen to me, long term, you will see it. Now, every one of you would know in here and agree with me, sin wears on you. Okay, now, you know when you're young and you sin, and the Bible says sin's good for a season. The Bible absolutely says it, right? Hey, sin can be good for a while. And your young flesh, when you're young, even your youth will kind of overcome the sin in your life. But you know when you get in your 40s and your 50s and your 60s and you've spent your whole life a sinner, it wears on you and it shows up and people can see it on your life. But here's what righteousness does. Righteousness refreshes you. Righteousness renews you. Now, this summer, again, we're going to camp, and we've been going to camp for years. And one of the things we do when we go to camp this time is we're going to stop in Austin, Texas, and we go to a place called Barton Springs. And if you've ever been there, I don't have to tell you how amazing it is. It's a natural stream that runs, it's not even a stream, it's a river that runs through Austin, Texas, and they dam it up, and it's filled with crystal clear water, and it's ice cold, and you swim in it, and it's amazing, and it's so refreshing. I love to swim anyway. I love water. I love it when it's clear, and we're going to dump all 50 of those kids out, and we go in, and you swim, and you hang out, and there's a diving board. It's amazing, and it's refreshing. Think how natural and refreshing water can be in your life. Every time you read the Word of God, every time you feed on the Word of God, every time you hear the Word of God, it says that it pours living water over you. Now, let me give you the next part. There's one last part that's amazing. It says that life will be exerted on you. Okay, if I picked out one of the skinny people in this room and called you up here to arm wrestle with me, somebody that I could beat, I would certainly not call Jeremy up here, but somebody little and skinny, right, who could arm wrestle with me, probably one of the elementary school children, and we would put our arms together, and we would exert our energy to try to put each other's arm down. We know what arm wrestling is. Okay, exertion means anything you put a force to. If your car won't start after church and four or five of us have to get out there and get behind it and push it to get it to start, we exert a force and an energy. Okay, here's what's amazing. Every time you feed on the Word of God, and it's as simple as this. It's as simple as this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Now, there's just basic truth in that verse. Amen? But you know what else just happened? Living water flowed over me, and the force of life was exerted on me. And then here's what happens. It drives out pain. It drives out weakness. It drives out sickness. It will bring peace to your mind. If you're tormented in your mind, if you've got issues and things you're worried about, when you read the Word of God, when you feed on the Word of God, you're feeding on Jesus and you get true life. You get living water poured over you and it exerts itself on you. And you know what happens? You will begin to walk into complete peace in your mind. You will begin to walk into health and wholeness. You will begin to walk in the blessings of God. And as the days turn into weeks and the weeks turn into months, you'll get up one morning and you'll think, hey, I don't have that pain anymore. Hey, I don't have mouth ulcers anymore. I bet it's my diet. It's because I quit drinking Cokes. That's what it is. Oh, I know. It's because I'm old and I've outgrown it. Right? No, it's because you've been feeding on life. All right, now listen to me. Why did I say mouth ulcers? Because I had them my whole life. Those canker sores you get on your mouth, I've had them so bad on the back of my throat that I went to the dentist one time. I didn't have any at the time. And he looked in the back of my throat and he said, man, your throat is scarred. What in the world happened to you? And I said, nothing. It's mouth ulcers. I'd get them so bad I couldn't eat. I'd get them so bad I couldn't swallow. I'd carry around that chloroseptic spray. Even in the early days of church when I was pastor here, I'd have my chloroseptic on the front row and squirt that stuff to make the pain go away. Listen to me. I don't have them anymore. And listen to me, did it happen overnight? No. But you know what I did? I fed on the Word of God. I listened to Scripture. I said Scripture. And you know what happened one day? The Holy Spirit said, hey, do you have mouth ulcers anymore? I said, no, Lord, I don't. But I know it's because I'm older. Right? I outgrew it. Right? I outgrew it. No, I didn't outgrow it. You don't outgrow the devil. Right? You don't outgrow sickness and disease. Life was exerting itself on me. Now listen, I'm not against any of the things I'm about to talk to. Vicky and I take vitamins. Okay, and I'm not against vitamins. Vicky loves gummy bear vitamins. Okay, man, is there anything in it? Y'all are clapping. Some of you are like, oh yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Y'all are clapping over gummy bear vitamins, my Lord. She likes gummy bears anyway, but then if it's a gummy bear vitamin, all the better. I get candy and get a vitamin, okay? And we take them at our house, and she likes to take them, and, you know, you have to keep them put up so she doesn't take 8 or 10 a day, you know, so they're because they're gummy bears, right? And why do we take vitamins? Well, because we think they make you feel better and give you, you know what I'm saying? It gives your body what you need, so we take them. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't take vitamins. But the point is we'll do things to help ourselves when all I'm asking you to do this morning is to add the promises of the Word of God into that, whatever it is that you're doing. All right, I want to show you another verse. I'm going to go to John chapter 6, verse 63. I'm just going to skip down a little bit. All right, listen to what this says in John 6, 63. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Now stop right there. The only way to get eternal life is through the Spirit of God. How do you get it? You say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I need a Savior and I repent, come into my heart and be my Savior. And the Spirit will give you eternal life. Look at the next thing it says. Human effort accomplishes nothing. Listen to me. I'm not telling you this morning to read your Bible to please God. I'm not telling you to read your Bible so God will do something in your life because that will accomplish nothing. Human effort accomplishes nothing. Are you with me? So I'm not saying read your Bible so God will be all happy with you and he'll do something in your life. I'm not saying read your Bible so God will be pleased with you. If you know Jesus, he's already pleased with you. Amen? I said, if you know Jesus, he's already pleased with you. Listen, God's in a good mood this morning and he's happy with you. Amen? Why am I reading my Bible? Well, I'm feeding on it because it's life. Listen to what it says. Are you going to, this is going to be too good. All right? The very words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. The very words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. Can I tell you something? Does anybody got a Bible that's a book and not on an iPad? Can you bring me one up here so I can hold on to it? Thank you, Nana. You hold, there you go. Thank you. Okay. All right. This book is spirit and life. This book is alive. This book is filled with life. It's dripping with life. This book is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the Word. And when you open it up and put your nose in it and read it, you're feeding on spirit, you're feeding on life, and you can't help but be changed. You can't help but get healthy. You can't help but be smarter. You can't help but grow financially. You can't help but have peace in your mind. When you lay down at night and you think to yourself, you know what? I can't remember the last time I worried. It's because you're feeding on spirit and life. See, that's why the devil doesn't want you to have anything to do with this book, because he knows what it'll do to you. It'll change you. Listen to what it says. Jesus said, the words that I've spoken. All right, these are the words Jesus has spoken. He said, my words are what? My words are spirit and life. Listen, they don't have spirit and life. They are spirit and life. Does that make sense to you? So if you read Genesis, it doesn't matter where you read. I mean, you can open up anywhere and read. Okay, let me just read right here to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present and lowly among you, by being absent and bold towards you. Pastor, what in the world does that mean? Well, I can teach it and talk to you about it, but here's what happened. I'm feeding on spirit and life. You see, I asked you to read Matthew. Is it Matthew 5, 6, and 7? The Beatitudes, and I'm reading it in May. This morning, I got up and read that, and you know what I did? I didn't read my Bible. I fed on my Bible. And when you do it, you get spirit and life. Listen to me. Listen, every one of you can do this. And see, it's not about reading your Bible so you can be a good Christian. It's not about reading your Bible so the pastor will be happy with you. It's not about reading your Bible so God will be pleased with you. It's not about reading your Bible so you can be religious and know all the rules. It's because I need spirit and I need life. Now, as soon as this service is over, we're going to go to my house and my family, and we're going to have dinner. And we're going to eat lunch together. And then when lunch is over, that food is going to nourish me and sustain me for the rest of the afternoon. Correct? And I'm not going to get it from the dinner table and go into the living room and sit down in the chair and wish it was football season. Now, I'm probably going to do that, right? But I'm not going to go into the living room and sit down and say, oh, I hope that chicken works. I hope that broccoli works. Oh, I hope that iced tea works. I hope that ice cream works, right? No, you don't do that. See, you don't stress over it. You just eat. And then that food sustains you. And then later on this evening, we're going to eat again. And it'll sustain me. And I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to eat again. And it's going to sustain me till lunch. Oh, and then I'm going to eat again. And then it's going to sustain me till the evening. Oh, I'm going to eat again. Then it'll be Taco Tuesday. And I'm going to eat breakfast. It'll sustain me till lunch. Then we're going to have Taco Tuesday. And it'll sustain me till supper. And then I'm going to come in and say, honey, what's for supper? And she's going to say, cereal. And I'm going to say, oh. Right? You don't go around wondering, I hope the food I'm eating is working. Because it naturally just sustains you. Listen, don't read the Bible and think, oh, I hope this is working. Because it's going to supernaturally sustain you. When you feed on the Word of God, you are taking in spirit and you are taking in life. Thank you, Nana. There you go. Thank you. Now listen, I don't want you to miss this. How do you feed on the Word of God? You just chew it. You gnaw it. You think about it. You read it. You listen to it. You hear it. You say it. I went to Sonic this morning to get burritos for the men's group across the street. And while they were making the burritos, I said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. I said it right out loud in my pickup. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all my iniquity, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. Sir, that'll be $19. Thank you, ma'am. I didn't do it to be religious. I didn't do it because I'm the preacher. I didn't do it because I'm weird. I did it because I'm feeding on spirit and life. And I'm getting true life on the inside of me, and it gives me peace in my mind. Now, listen to me. One of the greatest battles in my life from the time I was a kid until I was adult was fear. I've told you before, my mother was afraid. growing up, my dad worked at the railroad and he worked nights, and she would be afraid in the house at night. And because she was afraid, we were afraid. Can I just throw out a nugget to you? Whatever you let on you will get on your kids. Whatever you let on you will get on your kids. The movies you let in your house gets on your kids. I'm amazed at the parents who will watch terrible horror movies and let their 8-year-old sit in the living room with them, and you think it's harmless and okay. Whatever you let on you gets on your kids. My mother was afraid, so we were afraid. I was afraid when I was little. I was afraid in junior high. I was afraid in high school. I was afraid when Vicki and I got married. A couple of times when we were young married, in my sleep, I would be like, I'd wake up kind of, you know how I'm not really awake, and I'd get up and be in the living room holding a pistol. And my wife is like, I got to get out of here. Because I was afraid. But listen, as I have fed on the Word of God, as I've learned scriptures that I don't have to be afraid, I don't have fear. And I don't have fear because I'm older. I don't have fear because I'm wiser. Because see, none of that gets rid of fear, because fear is a spirit. But see, as I have fed on the Word of God, that fear has had to go. And now, listen, can I be honest with you? Can I be vulnerable with you? There can be times I can be afraid, even today. And I know you may think that's stupid or weird, but there can be times that I can wake up in the middle of the night out of a dead sleep and think, what was that? Well, it was nothing. It's nothing but fear. And I say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That fear has to go in the presence of the Word of God, and it gives my mind peace, and it touches my heart, and I roll over and go back to sleep, and I'm fine. Listen, this will change your life. You're not going to see it overnight, right? You're not going to get up tomorrow and think, man, this is really... But over time, as you do this, what happens? You feed on spirit, and you feed on life. And Jesus said, if you feed on me, you will live. If you read my word, if you take time to feed on my scriptures, not to be religious, not to have all this knowledge, and you'll get knowledge. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know what'll happen? You'll have true life. The Spirit of God will wash over your soul with living water, and the forces of life will be exerted on you, and you will be changed. Stand up and let's pray. Now just close your eyes and open your heart for just a moment, and I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to pray. Father, I'm so grateful, and we're going to pray over the seniors. We're not going to let everybody go. Father God, thank you, Lord, that you help us to not read our Bibles, but you help us to feed on our Bibles. Change our mind, God, that we're not reading, we're feeding. And because of that, we'll get true life, that your Spirit washes over us like living water, and that the forces of life are exerted on us. Lord, I know there's people in this room right now that need peace in their mind. I know there's people in this room that have fear just like I have. There are people who need peace over their finances. They need help in their marriage. They need help with their kids. And Lord, as we feed on the Word, you move in our lives, and darkness is driven out, and life and light is put in its place. Lord, I pray, stir our hearts to never read our Bibles again, but to feed on the Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now.